Let us continue with the theme of this month, which is the light. I mean, staying in the light. But today's message is the light of truth. The reason I want to talk about the light of truth is there's a lot of truth out there. Some people talk about the philosophy of truth and get into the relativity of that and get to a place where there's nothing connected to a foundation of God. Others are stuck with the fluidity of thinking that is present today. And with that thinking, it's almost everything goes and nothing is held accountable to God. And that too is a way of thinking, but it's not of God. It's what the world gives us today. And if we're not careful, we tend to exchange truth with these philosophies. Because in some ways, they resonate with how we feel. Not entirely with what God is saying. And yet the Bible, we'll see in a short while what the Bible calls us to be. As Christians, our role is to be the light. How does God help us sustain the life in the light, though? Because yes, you can come in the light, but be rolled back and lose that bright sense of God. Just get dull with it. I remember once going to in my office, and it used to be so bright. And one day I walked in and I said, "Why is it so dull?" I didn't know what was wrong. I looked up. I said, "I think it's the bulb." The other day I said, "Let me just check." One bulb had burned out. So Romans, the Message version is what I'll talk about a bit, but I'll stick here in NIV. Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he didn't let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. So when you, a mere man, a human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? It's a question. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The typical Jew in the Roman book sees the Gentile as someone who doesn't get it because he's not committed to the commandments. So when he speaks to the Gentile, he looks down on him. And so Paul is addressing something. He says, you know what? Just because you have the Ten Commandments in place and you know a lot, if you keep saying that to people that need to hear about God, you're judging them and you're not helping. You see, when we become the light, we help people. We're not in Matthew 7:3, which is just judging, but we're trying to show them who Jesus is. See, when you understand this concept of being transformed, is that the moment you become a Christian, that transformation begins. It's not the end. It's the beginning of change. And it says here, or do you show contempt for these riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? That as we get the light of God, of Jesus, we now can show other people who he is. But when we don't do that, we tend to be judgmental. We're so concerned about the speck in their eyes, but we forget we have a log in our own eyes. And that happens because we've stopped being the light. We're not showing anymore. We're dimming. And so we just judge. But when we take on the image of Jesus Christ and begin to show that light to the world, it's no longer about what we say. Your life becomes a testimony of what God can do with a human being. So when we're going through all kinds of things, the Bible says, don't take that patience for granted. God wants us to come around and be transformed. It's radical life change. You know that the changes you make as a teenager are different from the changes you make as a person in college. And the changes you make as a person in college are different from the person that is walking and paying taxes and going through all that. And the changes you make as a married person is different. And the changes you make as a married person with children is different. And the changes you make as a married and you have a grandchild is different. So it never stops. There are changes you're always making and growing. And yet, if we don't get that right, we get stuck in a moment in time that we enjoyed and not come to a place where God wants us to show that light. So do not take that sense of God's patience as something you can take for granted. You need to keep repenting and transforming so that God can use you powerfully. It takes transformation, not just conversion. It's not a question of, I'm converted to being a Christian. How transformed are you? How is the home looking like? How is parenting going like? How is being single, just being transformed, be more like Jesus Christ? It takes transformation, not just conversion. You can't be the light if you spend your time judging instead of showing God's love. If all you do is tell people, this is wrong, that's wrong, instead of showing them, here's how God can heal you, you cannot be the light. It's not enough to say what's wrong. It's good to show how can God change that and bring it about. Instead of being judgmental, dig deeper than what's on the surface. A lot of what's stopping us to really hear from God is surface stuff. Stuff that stops you. Somebody did something happened, so I will not listen to God. Dig deeper and figure out what's going on here. What needs to happen? What is God trying to show me here? Dig deeper, and you will see that you come to a place where the light shines again. We all are shining at some point. Then we hit this surface that we need to dig deeper, and we don't. We slide like an ice, and we keep sliding for a long time. We need to dig deeper and get to figure out what is God saying to our lives. Amen? Secondly, you must dig deep to be transformed. Transformation does not happen just because, well, I've come to know God. Oh, well, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, well, I have friends that go to church. That's not good enough. You have to dig deeper. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man who builds a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck, that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Church, let's talk about digging deep a little bit. That essentially, yes, we hear the word of God, but for us to be transformed, we have to dig deep in our hearts and ask ourselves, what is it that makes us just fall over? That just leave God. Whatever it is that just comes in our lives and we forget about God and we go back to ourselves. Some of that stuff is sin, but some of that stuff is just life playing at our doors. What is it that drives you away from God? You remember the storm last week? The trees that did not have the roots were falling over, hitting the power lines, and the neighborhoods were going into darkness. I believe when you are not digging deep, you eventually fall over. And the darkness that hits your house begins to take place. It starts with your home, it starts your neighborhood, because when you're not connected deep with God, you're not digging inside your heart and saying, what needs to be transformed? Our form stays the same, even though we hear the word again and again. And that is where change must happen. I'm always wary of my life when I feel like I'm stuck in the same place. Not the same house, spiritually speaking. In other words, I'm not hearing God and I'm not changing my heart, my mind, and my attitude. And here I want to talk about is we have to dig deep. So I want to ask a question. When is the last time you dug deep? You see, if you're digging deep, it's not a quick fix. If you're going to build up 100 stories, you got to do some real digging. In other words, your quiet time is not a quick fix. It's you're digging and sitting down and reflecting and meditating and saying, God, help me figure out where we're going with this. Does that make sense? If you do that, you'll begin to dig deep. For some of us, we feel things, we just say, I don't need to take, I'll just pray about it. But you need to process that and get to a place of being deep. We're afraid to dig, aren't we? We're afraid of the dirt. We're afraid of what people think of us. We're afraid of the gaping hole. Oh my goodness, what will happen? The grace of God will show you how to fill that hole. That's how you deal with digging. But God will make you strong, because when you dig deep, you're able to use the Bible as a foundation to practice what you know. Let me ask another question. You know, the Bible says a lot of things. Do you believe that to the point where you're so grounded that you can stand the test of time? Not in denial. Believe it, that God will help you out. And so you practice what He says. It is going beyond your form. When I talk about your form, it's who we are. In our sinful nature, we are not good people. But with God, He can transform us when we're digging deep. Transformation is often more about unlearning than learning. Let's face it, we all have some things. We said, this is the way I do things. Yet God says every day, you need to depend on me on a daily basis. You know, I've done this many times. Sometimes I ask myself, how is it that I left the house and I'm not sure that I locked the gate, the garage door? How does that happen? That happens because I'm automated. I'm not connecting to, did I close that? I'm just running. And that's a dangerous place to be. I like to say, wait a minute. I am connected to what's happening here and now. Many of us are so taken over that the foundation is shaking. We're not even aware that the foundation is out of place, that we're out of whack at every little thing. And why is that? It's because we're not digging deep. It's a changing the form. If I'm changing my form, there's a lot to unlearn. Because it doesn't come at the same time. It's from stage to stage, you're unlearning stuff. It's a daily walk, sometimes era. You will unlearn different things, things that are deep in you that only God can change. You have to unlearn a lot of stuff. It's changing your form. That is how you stay in the light. You don't stay in the light by having a system of, I pray, I read, I do this. Oh no, you work on changing your form, your attitude, your thinking, your mindset, and bringing God in how you do everything. That is a different place to be. Then your light shines, and when it does, people want to be around that kind of a person. But if you just have a system of coming to church and midweek and all that, you're the same. You're angry. Nobody wants to hear anything from you. Though you say Jesus is Lord, they look at you and say, what's wrong with this guy? So let's talk about repentance. Repentance is refreshing. We'll talk about this in a moment. In Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. It's a good place when you're changing and getting transformed. It's not a bad place. We should not be afraid to go there. And true repentance is about transformation, not torture and torment. But I want to say this, and I'll say that a bit later, that there needs to be sorrow that precedes repentance, godly sorrow. It is out of godly sorrow, we'll look at that at the end, that brings about repentance, change of mind, that begins to affect our hearts, our attitude. So repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. If you are sad, the answer lies in repentance. If you're overwhelmed, the answer lies in repentance, trusting God. If you grieve, the answer lies in trusting God. If you're not in a good place, the answer lies in knowing that God has a plan. You see, because when we're not repenting, we are caught in these things. We're held down with these things.
And we become resentful and angry. And the Holy Spirit doesn't walk in us. So that is why repentance never happens. So we stay in the torture moment and we're just tormented, but we're not repenting. When we start to repent, it's a different place. It's refreshing. It's, oh my goodness, God is well. Romans makes sense, and he walks out for the good of those who love him. Until that happens, we're just stuck in this place, and we're not moving. So the question is, what is holding you back from being refreshed? And I'm not talking about being entertained by a game here, being entertained by, you know, whatever we do for entertainment, and we can do that. It's really being transformed, coming to a state of, I see what's going on and how the devil is stealing my joy. Repentance has a multiplication effect. When you start to repent, it touches a lot of things. Matthew 3:8, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. We have to produce fruit. We cannot say, I'm repenting, but we are the same. There must change happens. Our countenance is different. The way we see God becomes very different. Yet, we don't get to that point because we're not getting help. For some of us, all you need to say is, I need help. Can you help me to do this differently? And people reach out to you. And if somebody says, I need help, please don't give the standard answer, I'll pray for you. We need to pray, but beyond that, how can I help? You know, sometimes I have people, can you help me? I'll pray for you. Of course, that's one area. But James says, well, if you just pray and do nothing, what are you doing there? We've got to go beyond. We need to create time for one another, to help each other, to love each other deeply, to spend time with each other, to study the Bible with each other, to be in each other's homes, to talk about difficult things that need prayers and being together and fasting together. Amen? And not just saying, well, I'll pray for you. That is a standard Christian way of saying, I'll do nothing. Very spiritualized. I'll pray for you, but I'll do nothing. And some of us say, I'll pray for you, and never ask the guy, how is it going the next day you see the person? Really? You pray for me, the next time you see me, you say nothing? Talk about concern and connection. What happened to that? We've got to follow up on these things and check out what's going on in that area. The Message Bible says it is your life that you must change, not your skin. Don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father, being as a child of Abraham. It's neither here nor there. Children of Abraham are a dime, a dozen. God can make children from stones if he wants. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on fire. Sometimes, as Christians, we throw up different things to stop us from hearing God. We throw up, well, I'll just fast this one out, and I will not read the Bible. I'll just do something, and God help me. Or we say, you know what, I've survived before, I'll survive this. Here's the caveat on that. You survived before, but this is a new day. You need God today. And you need to connect with God today. You can keep, experience is good, but it's not everything. You need God today. Many of us have put God on ice and go on experience. I'm calling us to come to hearing God now, right here and now, and saying, what is God saying to my soul? We like to, the other rank we like to say, it's somebody's mistake. I say, What is it bringing in your heart that needs to change? That is what needs to change. And as you do that, growth happens. It's exciting to be around God in that mode. And you begin to see the multiplication effect of repentance. It's funny. When you repent, your neighbors get the benefit of that. You will talk to them in a much more joyful way. You will show them God. Amen. Your workmates will be happy when you're repenting because, you know, that area will be much more joyful space. There, people want to be in that place. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're in college and you're repenting, people want to be around you because you're the guy that knows what's going on. They want to be involved. If you're a teenager and you're repenting, things change around you. When you're not repenting, death comes your way. Spiritual death is deadly. You feel it, but you can't touch it.
And for some of us, have stayed in that space for too long. You've been in that space of spiritual death for too long. It's time to awaken. To awaken and ask yourself this question. Am I repentant? Fruit is not just that you're helping someone to become a Christian. It's your character. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joy, patience, kindness. The fruits of the Spirit. All that in Galatians 5. It's part of the fruit. Without me, you cannot bear fruit. So you have to have a connection. Not a connection of being a church, a personal connection with God. Not a connection of just having great fellowship, a connection with Jesus that makes you turn around. Not just a connection of, well, the church is doing safe people, is doing that, and that's all great, but a connection that transforms who you are. It's been 2 years of us talking about some heavy stuff, but it's time to start seeing some repentance now and focusing outside and seeing how we can do that. Amen? It's time to see families transform and being safe and people talking and connecting and really showing Jesus in their families. It's time for the single family groups to really flourish and glorify God because it's all about Jesus. As singles, as campus people, we can do that if it's about God. We cannot do that if it's about us. We're not the show. God is. In finishing, choose God over all others. Sometimes I use the Message Bible, and I know that we would rather be doing NIT and everything, but for this purpose, I'll use this one today. It says something. It says, distress. This is basically godly sorrow. Distress that drives us to God does that. Let me take that again. Distress that drives us to God does that. It turns us around. It gets us back in the way of salvation. We never regret that kind of pain. That there's a pain that will send you to God, a challenge that will send you to God. We don't regret that. That's godly sorrow. But those who let distress drive them away from God are full of regrets, end up on the deathbed of regrets. I think that it's easy to let life challenges just make you numb and angry with God and just out of control with God. You're with God, but you're not with God, if you get what I'm talking about. I will not leave, but I'm just angry. I'm upset about X, Y, Z. And it says, you come to a place of regret because if you think about it, time is moving. And you need to take every opportunity to do good. To the believers and to non-believers as well. And yet we can allow challenges of life to take us the wrong way instead of finding God. And now isn't it wonderful all the ways in which this distress has goaded you closer to God? You are more alive, more concerned. That's what repentance does. It makes you more alive to spiritual things. You're more alive, more concerned, more sensitive, more reverent, more human, more passionate, more responsible. Looked at from any angle, you've come out of this with purity of heart. You know, at age 13, 10, boy, you are pure of heart and life to life. As you progress in your teenagers, things can happen. By the time you hit 21, you can be tired already. I hope not. I hope not. For some of us at 30, we're tired. I hope not. For some of us at 40, we're tired. I hope not. For some of us at 50, we're tired. I hope not. For some of us at 60, we're tired. I hope not. And for some of us at 70, we're tired. I hope not. I'm sure we may hit 80s, but I won't go that far. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. More reverent. When you have godly sorrow, you are more alive, more concerned. We've got to come to that place where we're more reverent and more concerned about God's will. More human, more passionate. We've got to bring that back. Our passion for God, for one another, for helping people to know God. More responsible. Things don't just happen. We have to take responsibility for our spiritual well-being. We have to be there for people that are struggling and nurture them and love them deeply. Look at from any angle. You've come out of this with a purity of heart. Life happens. I don't know what life is going to come my way. But one thing I know, in everything, God is working out for my good. I'm working on that. I'm trying to hear that. Because sometimes I'm thinking, what's going on? Well, God is working out for your good. He's not against you. But we have to understand this, though. Purity of heart is needed. Don't come out of that angry and upset or darkened of heart. Purity of heart. So, church, this morning, the only way we can tell the world about Jesus is not saying all the right words. It's us being that image of Jesus. Then people can listen to you. They say, that is an image of Jesus Christ. That shows Jesus. But if all we do is talk about him and our lives are not exactly what Jesus is supposed to say, something is wrong. I pray that this morning you've been moved to take on the image of Jesus Christ. Amen.